you guys weren't born there. Say, what happened on that day?
Blizzard.
The blizzard. Okay. So I'm going to start off by just sharing something about that blizzard, okay? Because this is very pertinent to the message. We're going to be talking about He Calms the Storms. That's the title of the message, He Calms the Storms. Well, I happen to be a young guy, very young guy, just married 9 months at that time. And I was working in a place right on Ohio and Furman Boulevard. Anybody know where that is? Right on the waterfront. And that morning, I came to work. That whole year, it snowed every single day, it seemed like. Every day it snowed, starting in early November all the way to March. All right? And I remember going to work that morning, and around 20 to 10, it got so dark. I mean, dark. It was like already nighttime. It was only 20 to 10 in the morning. And we're right on the waterfront. And I said to my friends, you know, we need to get out of here. There's a storm coming, and we have to get out of here before we're stuck. Well, by the time everybody gathered together and we asked if we could leave, they said, no, we want you to stay and work for straight time. And we said, no, we're not going to work for straight time. But we tied ropes, five of us tied ropes to each other, and we went out in a driveway. And we put as many clothes on as we could, and we got lost in our own driveway at work. Because the wind was so powerful, it was about 55 miles an hour. My glasses froze about that thick. I couldn't see my hands. We were totally lost. Even though we had ropes on each other, we could not find our way out of the driveway. Now, where we worked, probably less than 3 blocks away, was a place called Huron Cement, and there was a lift bridge there. Buffalo River flows underneath. If we would have made it that far, we might have been in the river because the wind was so strong that you could not even know where you are. I mean, you ever close your eyes and try to walk through your house? You're probably bumping in doors and stubbing your toes and all these things because you can't see. That's how powerful the storm was. It was unreal. So we decided, let's go back inside, and we're going to stay safe in there. At least we know what's going on. So through the night, I never slept because, you know, worried about, you know, I want to get home. I'm a newlywed, you know, I'm only 9 months married. And I said, I'm leaving in the morning. I'm going to walk home. It's about 12 miles walk, okay? So I leave in the morning, early in the morning. Halfway is my mom's house. So I figure I'm going to mom's house, get something to eat. Mom's always good for food, you know. And I started walking home. And as I'm walking home, I'm going down Louisiana Street. I'm walking really high. And I said, man, I seem to be so high off the ground. I was actually walking on top of tractor trailers. That's how high the snow was. I was looking down. I see the cab. And you walk in there, they're buried. I get to my mom's house, which is about a halfway point. And there's a huge fire truck stuck next door to my mom's house, the one with the driver in the front and the driver in the back. So you can imagine how powerful this storm was. You know, I make it there. I actually have a picture when my mom and my sisters took of me when I went home. And my mom said, what are you doing? I said, I was hungry. So I walked to your house. And so she gave me some food. And when her back was turned, I walked to my house, which was on, at the time, at Bailey and Genesee on a street called Antwerp, which is another 6 miles. And as I'm walking, I get to Seneca Street. You know where the Larkin Building is, and they have all that stuff over there? As far as your eyes can see, bumper to bumper cars, nobody in them. As far as your eyes can see, there's nobody in cars. People are walking, asking for directions because they don't know their way. People are helping each other. Churches, fire halls, any place was open to give people food, coffee, anything to help. It was amazing. And, you know, when I finally made it home, I slept for 14 hours straight. But, and, you know, I'm just telling you, that's how powerful that storm was. It lasted for 4 days, all right? It was complete shutdown of the whole city and the surrounding areas. I mean, people will have stories that are unbelievable that happened during that storm. And that was a major storm, a storm that I remember like it was yesterday. And I remember how rough it was, you know, for a lot of people in that time. And but I also remember how kind people were, offering their homes, offering, you know, anything to give to help people. People were helping people. It didn't matter who you were. People were willing to help. That was amazing. See, storms bring out the best and the worst. All right, that's what happens with storms. So let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for the opportunity, Lord God, to come and worship you, to hear your word. Father, I pray, Lord God, that as I speak this word, that it calms the storms, that people that are going through storms right now will hear your word, Lord God, and they will find the peace and your strength and your word and your love for them, Lord God. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. My text is going to be out of Matthew chapter 8, verses 23 to 27. Very familiar. It's also found in Mark chapter 4. Now when he got into the boat, his disciples followed him. And suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea, so that the boat was covered with the waves. But he was asleep. Then his disciples came to him and woke him, saying, Lord, save us. We are perishing. But he said to them, why are you so fearful, O you of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. So the men marveled, saying, who can this be, that even the winds and the sea obey him? Who can this be? Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not so fond of boats. I'm not so fond about being on the water. It kind of scares me. All right, I'm a little bit fearful about that. I'm going to be honest with you. I did get on a sailboat in the Pacific Ocean. My niece's husband, yeah, I even drove it, man, and it was pretty cool. I was going the right direction. I was kind of going in different ways, but I got to get on the steering wheel and drove it, and that was pretty neat. But I'm not so fond about boats, and I would not be fond of a storm coming while I was in a boat, because those storms rise up, and they just, a boat is nothing compared to the storms that arise in the waters. Can you imagine the disciples are, I mean, they're like, just think of us like, just like us, fearful, probably screaming, oh my gosh, we're going to die, you know. That's what we do when we come into storms in our lives. We forget who we are, and we forget who our foundation is. We forget who our anchor is, and we start worrying and we start screaming out, and we start doing everything except the thing we should do. Pastor Tony mentioned that. Just call out Jesus' name. All right? And Jesus is fast asleep. Fast asleep. I find that so interesting. That he is sleeping while the waves are crashing into the boats, the wind is blowing, everybody's getting soaked, and he is sound asleep. What does that tell you? What does that tell you? You know? Does it tell you that when storms come, you go to sleep and forget about it? And like shove it underneath the rugs when things happen in your life? No, that doesn't mean that. Because sometimes we do that. All right. Now, how many of you ever been through storms? Can you show me your hands? I want participation here. All right, awesome. So you guys know what it feels like. How many of you are in storms right now? Hallelujah. Praise God. All right. The thing about storms is that sometimes you can see where they're coming from. Sometimes a sign in the skies tell us there's a storm coming. When you see black clouds coming towards us, right, and all of a sudden everything gets dark, you know that it's going to rain, all right? And it's probably going to rain pretty hard, especially when it's this hot, all right? And sometimes storms come, you don't even see them coming. They just happen, all right? And there's different kinds of storms. Understand that there's physical storms that happen all the time, natural storms, like we get snowfall and we get rainfall, heavy rains and all these kind of things. We don't get hurricanes, thank God for that. But we get all different kinds of storms, hail storms, ice storms, all kinds of things, you know, that just happen, all right? It's part of nature. That's the way it is. And we live in an area where we can get a lot of those storms because of the water being so close. And then there's other storms that we don't see coming. Storms that just arise out of nowhere. Storms that come into our lives that entangle us and snare us and cause us to drift away from the one who is, he's just in control of everything. I mean, if he says to the wind and the waves and the storm, be still, do you think he can handle those things in our lives? Think about that when you, just think about it. Now, we're going to go to Psalms 107, verses 29 to 31. Is it up there? Okay. He calms the storms so that his waves are still. Then they are glad because they are quiet. So he guides them to their desired haven. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. You see, when we go through these storms, he has a place already picked out for us where we're safe. He has a shelter from the storm. He has a place for us that's already been pre-assigned for us so that we can be away from the destruction of a storm, the things that it does in your life, He has a place for you. And we have to know where that place is. And you know how you know that? How do you think you know that? By being in His Word and by listening to Him. You know what happens a lot of times? Signs come to tell us there's something going to be happening here, and we ignore them. All right, we ignore them, and then when the storms come, we say, where did this come from? But we hadn't listened to God when He said, you need to be mindful of this. You need to be mindful of that. Because there's a storm coming in your life. And if you don't do this, all right, that storm is going to overtake you. It's going to ensnare you. It's going to captivate you. And you're going to sink because of it. See, God gives us warnings all the time. Have you ever said to Seth, how come this always happens to me? Like, you're the only person a storm comes to. Like, you know, ever do that? I've done that. I said, why me, Lord? You know, why are you picking on me? You know, it's like, that's, you know, think about it. You see that all over the Bible, right? You see it all the time. What did Jonah say? You know, I'm not doing that, you know. I'm not going to go there. He said, I'm not going to those people because those people are bad. And God said, no, I want you to go there. The reason why all that happened to Jonah is because he didn't want to forgive the people. God said, I'm forgiving them, you're going. All right, so that's when the fish, all that stuff happened afterwards. Think about those things. Isaiah 25, verse 4 and 5. There we go. For you have been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in this distress, a refuge from the storm, a shade from the heat, for the blast of the terrible one is as a storm against the wall. You will reduce the noise of aliens as heat in a dry place, as heat in the shadow of a cloud. The sound of the terrible one will be diminished. Right? There are times when storms come in our lives that are the enemy's doing. And there are times when storm comes in our life that are our doing. All right? And let me tell you something. We give the enemy too much credit. Oh, it's the devil's fault. All right? He had nothing to do with it. I mean, sometimes he stands there and watches, and he watches fail on our own without any help. He doesn't have to do anything, all right, because we're doing it to ourselves. We blame everyone else, all right, instead of looking in the mirror at our own selves, all right, and saying, what did I do to cause this storm? What didn't I do to cause this storm, all right? That's what happens in our lives. So too much credit goes to the enemy instead of looking at ourselves and saying, we've missed it. We missed the warnings that God has given us. And let me tell you something. Even if you're not walking in the Lord, God still gives you warning. He still talks to you. He shows you. People speak to you. People say something to you, and you ignore them. And, you know, if you are married and with children, you have children, you're going to go through storms. And so when they become teenagers, you're going to go through hurricanes, all right? And then when they get older, you're still going to go through storms, all right? It's like never ending, all right? And you know what? That's okay. Because you know what happens in the storms? Storms help us to persevere. Storm help us to be able to handle those situations. They teach us a lesson, all right? And you know why they teach us a lesson? So that we can teach others. So when they're going through the storms, we're able to help them, all right? Storms are, they kind of like refine us. All right, they put us through the fire and refine us and take us all those things that we think that we can do when we're going through all these troubles by ourselves. All right, I can do this, you know, especially men, especially Hispanic men. I can do this. All right, I can handle this. I got this. Oh yeah, I got it. Then when you're failing, you said, I thought I can do this on my own strength. My strength is not strong enough. Right, God is God. All right, and we cannot match to His power. He has all the solutions. He has all the answers, and all we have is doubt. All right, we don't have the strength to do what He wants us to do. And even though maybe at times you think, "Lord, I got us through this one," all right, it's not going to work that way all the time. You might have got through by the skin of your teeth, all right, but it's just going to happen. It's going to get worse and get bigger and bigger and bigger. All of a sudden, you're wondering where you're at. All right, it's not in our strength. Is in His strength. Nahum, I bet you a lot of people don't read Nahum. It's called a minor prophet. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power, and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord has His way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and in the and the clouds are the dust of his feet. He rebukes the sea and makes it dry, and dries up all the rivers. Bashan and Carmel wither, and the flower of Lebanon withers. The mountains quake before him, the hills melt, and the earth heaves at his presence. Yes, the world and all who dwell in it. You see, he's in control. You know, when I look at these scriptures, I realize how much, and you know, sometimes, like Pastor Tony was saying, we just think of him so small. And when you read this and you realize, wow, he controls the rivers, the way they flow. I mean, the rains, the snows, the wind, and it's all in his purpose. It's all in his control. And we're going through all these things and we're being swayed one way and another, all right? And he's just saying, just stay with me. Just stay with me. I'm your anchor. I'm the one you need to go to, all right? Sometimes we like to go to our friends, all right? And, you know, I always tell the young people that, you know, be careful about who you choose to be your friend, all right? Because a friend doesn't tell you what you want to hear. A true friend tells you what you ought to hear, all right? Because a real friend will tell you, you know, you go to someone, you start whining, and then they say, oh, you know, they're doing this and they're doing that. This is happening in my life, or my wife is doing this, or my children are doing that. A real friend says, what are you doing? You know, oh, man, all of a sudden you stop and you look back and you say, whoa, I got to start looking at myself. What did I do? All right? And it changes your whole perception of everything that's going on. Everything changes all of a sudden. All of a sudden you're not focused on everybody else. You're focused on yourself and what you need to change in your life to do the right thing. So storms are good. Storms are good in our lives. It's, you know, they teach us to persevere. They teach us to how to act in those storms, and there's something else that they do. You know, when you're in a storm and things look so dreadful, I mean, I remember going through tough times in my life and things looked like there was no silver lining. I couldn't see a way out. I couldn't see how is this going to work out? How am I going to be able to do this? And, you know, I had lost my job. I got laid off, and I've been out of work for a while. I was laid off in March 1982, and they kept me for 4 months longer because somebody else was out hurt, and I said, Lord, what am I going to do? And I had to find a job. I had two kids at the time and a wife to support, and I'm not one to sit on my debonair. I like to go out there and try to do everything I can to support my family. That's my responsibility, and I take it very, very seriously. So when I was praying, I got a job at a place that I knew. The Lord spoke to me before I accepted his job and said, this is not going to be a good job. And I said, this, and I knew it. And I was not even a Christian at the time, but I heard God say, this is not going to be a good job. First of all, it was 50% less than I was making. And I had to go all the way to Blaisdell from Riverside to get for this job. And it was not, the guy said, oh yeah, we got all this kind of insurance and we have this and we have that. And it was a very bad sign when you show up for work. They said, come to work at 4:30 in the morning, and there's nobody there. The doors are closed, and you're thinking, this is my first day in work. I said, this is not a very good sign. You know, there's nobody here. And he said, he told me to come at 4:30. I know I heard that. He said, come to work at 4:30. Nobody's here. Well, that job lasted about 6 months, all right? And we were all laid off. And I'm thinking, okay, God, now I'm out of work again. I'm not even making that much money, making half than I was before. Now I have no money, and what am I going to do? Well, I call out to the Lord. I went to school for 6 months, 8 hours a day at night. Well, Nancy took a job at local grocery store, deli, and provided that little bit of money that was coming in for food. And then the Lord provided a job. Out of the midst of all this going on, he provided a job without me applying for it. Now, how does that happen? All right. Now, I even asked that question as I was being interviewed. As five people interviewed me, and I said, I have a question for you. How did you get my name? And I said, because I never applied, you know. There was 10,000 people waiting in line for jobs in this place. They were wrapped around the blocks, all the way around the block. Everybody was trying to get a job at this time. Jobs were very hard to come by at the time. And they called me and said, we want you to come in for an interview. I was 28 at the time. And I came in for an interview. Five people talked to me, and they said, all right, you have the job. you have the job, and I'm just so excited, and I'm so thankful for God for blessing me with a job that I didn't even apply for, all right? And I asked them, I said, how did you get my name? Who called you? Who did you talk to? And they said, well, we talked to the school where you were going to, and we talked to your former employers, and we talked to some people that know you that used to go to school with you. And they gave you a good reference, and we thought you'd be a good fit. Well, I've been there for 35 years, people. All right? So God is good. In the midst of all that, all right, and trusting him and just doing what he asks you to do, and then God will bless you and take you through things that you think are impossible. Let's look at Psalm 91, verses 1 through 5. Did I get this one? I gave Ron a run for his money because I had given him scriptures earlier, and then I changed them. And that happens a lot with me because as I'm going over things, as I'm praying, God says, you know what? I want you to do it this way. I want you to go this direction, change this, change the song. I don't want that song. I want you to pray this song. And I said, oh boy, Ron is going to be, I'm going to give Ron all this stuff and he's going to change it all. So let's look at 91. 1 through 5. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him I will trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snares of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. Isn't that amazing what God does for us? All right? Just think about being under his wings. You know, I find that fascinating, you know. When you're going through all that, you're under his covering. That's what that means. You're under his covering. All right. I don't know if you've ever been in a heavy rainstorm, but you always want to seek shelter away from the rain so that you're covered, right? You're not getting soaked and later on get sick. All right. If you're in kingdom bound and you get caught in a rainstorm while you're walking between the pack and the campsite, your chances of being dry are slim and none. All right. So God covers us. All right, he covers us. All right, he's our refuge. So when you're going through these storms, just think about God covering you with his wings. When you call on his name, all right, you got to remember that, you know, storms are not prejudice. All right, they hit everyone. I don't care who you are, where you're from, where you live, how much money you make, storms will hit you. Storms are going to come. I can guarantee you that. They're as sure as taxes. All right, in this state, you're going to be taxed until you die, and when you die, you're going to pay. Someone else is going to pay the tax for you. All right, but they're as sure as that, storms will come in your life. It's how you deal with them that matters. It's how you look at them. Are you looking at them to show you God speaking to you through a storm? Maybe God is trying to tell you something. Maybe he's forewarning you. Maybe he's trying to show you a way out. All right, because that's the next one. He always shows us a way out. This is not on your list. He just gave it to me this morning. So I'm going to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. You guys know that verse? It's awesome. Because when you think about it, this is exactly what happens. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. So he has an escape plan for you. Always there's an escape plan. All right. He doesn't leave you hanging like our friends sometimes, maybe even family. All right. He doesn't leave you hanging. There's an escape plan. All right. But there's like this little criteria that you have to be careful of, you know. You have to be in his word and you got to be walking in his way. And then he shows you the way out. But if you choose If you choose, remember I use the word choose because it's important, all right? If you choose not to listen to him, all right, guess what's going to happen? You're going to be in there for a long time, all right? And that's because of our choice that sometimes we go through storms and nothing seems to be working out. The choices we make, right? And it's easy to say, well, it's because of him, it's because of her, it's because of this situation or that situation, instead of saying it's because of what I did, right? And the first thing you have to learn is you have to come to yourself. The word says you die to yourself. Paul always says you got to come to yourself and say, look, I am not worthy. You know, I'm the one that screwed up. I'm the one that messed up. I'm the one that made that decision, and it cost us. Now I'm the one that's going to pay for it. And once you recognize that and you start doing and walking in the way of the Lord, he gives you that, listen, I got a way out for you here. I have a plan for you. I mean, the plan that was in motion all along. When you're walking in the Lord, you know what that plan is. All right? It's not going to be a secret to you. And you're thinking, how am I going to find my way out of this place? You know, out of this situation. There's going to be a silver lining in the clouds. There's going to be a path set before you that you walk through this path. It's not going to be easy. It's never easy. Let me tell you something. If something is easy, it's probably not worth it. It's going to be tough. Because sometimes you got to go through these struggles so that you're refined and you're growing in the Lord and you're understanding what God wants of you. When he calls on you, you can't say, no, I'm not listening. All right? Because then when something happens, you're calling back to him and say, Lord, I did this and I did that. But God's going to say, when I called you, you didn't come. And now this is happening. I think this morning Nancy was sharing in Judges about the Israelites having problems with the Midianites, stealing all their food and their cattle and their sheep, and they were almost starving to death. It was happening because they were disobeying God. You see, all that happens because they disobeyed God. They weren't listening to what he was telling them. So God had to send Gideon in there to help out. Psalm 89, verses 8 and 9. Are you getting this? I hope so. It definitely helps me to know that he is in charge and he has a way out. O Lord of hosts, who is mighty like you, O God? Your faithfulness also surrounds you. You rule the raging of the sea. When its waves rise, you still them. All right? Isn't it just God? Everywhere God just shows you, I'm in control, right? No matter what goes on. You know, when God gave me this word, the same day that he gave me that word, I wrote it down, he calms the seas, all right? As soon as I came to work, some of the guys, they know who I am and what I represent, and they said, I said, how's it going? And they said, well, I'm still having issues in my marriage. And he said, can you pray with me? I'm going through storms. And I said, wow. That's confirmation. And it happened two or three times the same day. And he said, so I would pray with him right there on the floor, just hold hands and just pray and ask God to come in between the situation and send the Holy Spirit to give wisdom to both the wife and the husband in this case. But you know what? God doesn't just give you the word so that you can just, here, I'm going to share with you, and doesn't start with me first, all right? That the storms come in my life, storm comes in other people's lives, and I need to be there to help them go through their storms and to encourage them, all right? Because what we do, sometimes we like to take sides on issues, all right? And God doesn't take sides, you know. His word is just and true all the time. He stands firm, right? It's like a tree that stands right by the rivers of the waters, and it stands firm. It just grows. The roots are going out and out. He stands there. Nothing moves it. Nothing takes it down because his word is truth. All right? And we don't go from this way to that way. We're not wavering in the sea of distress. All right? So we have to do the same thing. You got to speak the truth to people. And, you know, I'll tell you what. Sometimes they don't want to hear it. All right? And sometimes they are afraid to hear it. Right? Because the truth, it sets you free. That's what the word says, right? So when you speak to someone and they're going through storms, don't coddle them, all right? Because you got to speak the truth to their lives, all right? And you can do this in love and in mercy, but don't coddle them. Tell them the truth. If you see something and you know something is wrong in their life, you speak to that. All right, you speak to that. Not as judgment, but so they know this is your part. This is your part that you need to change. This is what's happening because of the choices that you made. All right, and we have to do that sometimes, you know. And you know, you hear stories of one side, and then you never hear the other side. So you don't know which way to go, but God does. All right. So when they tell you something, the Spirit of God just works in you and says, okay. They show you a picture. Well, this is what's going on in this life. You know what? I want you to take that picture and delete it because that's not important. Whatever that person is doing, it doesn't matter. What matters is what you're doing and what God has told you to do. Leave the other stuff aside. All right? That's how things can get calmed down. Not add to it, but calm down. Exodus 14:14. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. Wow. The Lord will fight for you. How many will rather have God fight for them than anybody else? All right. I don't care if you think you're a superhero, Superman, Batman, Spider-Man, whatever, the Hulk. All right. You can take all those Avengers and put them all together, and I'll take God, and we'll see who's going to win. All right. All right. And you think about it. God's going to fight for you. All right, he's going to wield the sword of justice. He's going to tell the truth. All right, he's going to rid you of all those enemies that surround you. See, because he's your covering. All right, God is who he says he is. All right, God will do what he says he's going to do. He never wavers. He's always there for us. His word tells us all the time. You know, when you hear that word, he will fight for you. Oh my gosh, that's like, you're standing back there, okay, get back there. Said, okay, Lord, you get behind him. Said, go ahead, you know, because that's what he does. He stands and he protects you. You know, it's protection, it's safety, it's peace. Joshua 1:9, I believe Kevin mentioned this morning. Is it up there on the board? No. Okay. How many guys know about Joshua? I like Joshua. Do you know he was 80-something years old when he took over? That's amazing. 80-something. Now 80-something, you're in a nursing home. Sometimes it feels good to be in a nursing home. It's away from all the troubles. Have I not commanded you to be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Be of good courage. All right? Don't, you know, sometimes, I know we go through struggles and everything, and sometimes as Christians we kind of go, oh, woe is me, you know, and we all, you know, we have God as our Father. I mean, he's the creator of the universe, all right? He's our strength. We should not be like heads down, we should have our heads held high. Thanking God for what he's going to do, what he did, and what he will do, all right? We already know the end results, all right? It's like a book when you read. You want to get to the end and find out what happened. We already know what happened. He won. The enemy lost. You're victorious in Christ, all right? He has a way out for you. There's hope. There's eternity full of hope for you because you believe in Jesus Christ and you accept him as the Lord. Don't be dismayed. Walk upright, you know, like, walk with a little. You ever see people that used to walk like this? You know? Remember when I was younger? Gotta stay away from speakers. All right? But they used to walk like that, you know, with a little hop on their step, right? You gotta walk like that sometimes. Let them know, you know? Why are you so happy? Anybody ever ask you that? Why are you so happy? Why are you always happy? Why does everything that goes on doesn't seem to bother you? Why do you seem to hold your composure? How come you don't swear? How come you don't get angry? But I do. I do sometimes get angry. Sometimes it's in a closed, no one can hear me. I close the doors. But sometimes I do get angry. But why are you always like even keel? Like everything is so good. I said, everything is not always so good. You know, I'm good that way because of who Jesus is in my life. because I know who's my father. I know who's my strength. I know who I can go to. I know that even if I mess up, if I go to him and say, Lord, I am sorry, truly sorry, and change my ways, I know that it's going to change whatever happened. I know that God is my strength. He's my joy. He's my everything. That's why I can walk around with a smile. That's why I can walk around with a hop in my step. That's why I have seemed to have strength when there is none. That's why he gives me discernment. He opens the skies up for me. Proverbs 19:20. So as you guys go through storms, and you will, especially the young kids over here, when you go through these storms, remember, God is your shelter. This is what it says here in 19:20. Listen to the counsel and receive instruction that you may be wise in your latter days. Ooh. Oh, that means listening to mom and dad? Oh, my. Does that mean listening to your teachers and people that you trust? Does that mean listening to Pastor Sam and Pastor Tony and Pastor Skip and myself and Sister Nancy, Sister Nancy, Sister Kathy, Sister Laura? Does that mean that? Does that mean my elders? Listening to counsel. Wow. How many of us have received counsel that was contrary to the Word of God? Anybody ever received counsel like that? And you say, oh, this is what you need to do. They tell you, oh, here's what you do. You know, when you go into a rough situation, let's just pack up and leave. You know, just pack up and leave. No, that's what I call a chicken. All right, because you need to stand there and fight. All right, if you care about someone and you really love them, I just told this to someone yesterday. Actually, it's one of the bosses. I said, if you really care about that lady and you really care about your child, then you're going to fight for them. You're going to stand firm and you're going to fight for them because you care for them. All right, you don't walk out. A lot of people, that's the counsel a lot of people give you. Or they said, you know, you go this way, and God's saying, no, go this way. All right? And guess what? When people say, oh, there's all kinds of ways to God, all kinds of path, that's a bunch of baloney. He said the path is narrow. All right? That's what the Word says. It doesn't say, I mean, you can take Broad Street, and you can take Fletcher, and you can take Grand Island Boulevard, or you can take whatever. No, he said, you need to get on this path right here. This is the only way. This is the path that he wants you to be. Don't listen to counsel from people that are not in God. All right? You need to, when someone gives you something in the Word, you need to look it up and read it and ask God and say, okay, God, you know, this person told me, do this. What do you say? What do you say, God? All right? I need to look at that. All right? Pay attention to counsel. Pay attention. Proverbs 1, verses 27 to 31. How are we doing with time? Oh, we're doing good. We got another few hours. I gotta work tonight, so I gotta work tonight in the heat, so you know, you guys can stay here in the cool air, you know. It's 120 degrees at work, so you guys will be good here. When your terror comes like a storm, and your destruction comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would not have none of my counsel and despise my every rebuke. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancies. Wow, that's powerful, strong, isn't it? This is what happens to us when we don't listen to what God is saying. He's trying to give us directions. He's trying to guide us. He's trying to love us. It's like growing up, your parent would say, you know, you can't do that. I don't want you doing this. And when you're young and you start becoming of age, you think that you can do anything. That you think that you're invincible. And that's what happens when, especially guys, we think that we're invincible and nothing can happen to us. We won't get hurt. And it doesn't matter. Mom and dad are not going to know what I'm doing. All right? We're not going to listen to their counsel until you face that storm that you caused because of what you did. And you know what? All along, someone was telling you, don't do that. All right? And it goes for anything in your life. It goes for your relationships, all right, in your life. I mean, how many of us Thank God I didn't go that way, but thank God that God didn't have me with a lot of relationships, right? Because my heart was, my goal was to meet someone that I can love, be loved in return, and have a family and raise them, all right? My goal was not to have fun. I mean, my goal was to have a mate for the rest of my life, all right? One. And that's all I can handle, is one, right? And God is good. He answered that prayer. All right. So, you know, God gives you counsel on relationships. When you see, you know, sometimes you see people that are together and you say, that should have never happened. All right. Somebody gave some advice, all right, that they didn't listen to. And there's reasons for that. All right. And so just remember that. Listen to the counsel of God. Listen to what he has to say, because it's going to save you from so much trouble later on. We have enough to deal with naturally because life is life. Things happen. You don't want to add to it, believe me. All right? If you keep adding to it, this is what's going to happen to you. You'll lose your hair. It looks like James. I love the book of James. At first, when I read that, I said to him, okay, how in the world am I going to be happy as I'm going through these trials and tribulation? All right? How is that possible? And it says, consider it joy. And I'm thinking, what planet are you from? You know, consider it joy. That's what I used to think. How can you be happy when you're going through trials and tribulation? When everything is, you're being surrounded by all these things. The arrows are being shot at you. And you're just standing there and said, how can you be happy? Well, when you become a born-again Christian, that's how you can become happy, because you know what the end result is. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Oh my gosh. It's a, you know, now I look at it and I go, now I understand what he's talking about. All right? Because see, I know what the end results are going to be. I know that if I do what I'm supposed to do and I ask God, I need some direction here. I need some discernment. I don't know what to do in this situation. And he gives it to me. Then I can say, I can laugh. And I can say, wow, I got out of that one. And I said, thank you, Jesus, you know. And you say what, because you mean it. Pastor Tony is so right. You know, we say people use his name in different ways than they should. You know, when you think about Jesus, you think about the power, what he did on the cross for us, right? Think about what that represents, what he gave up for you, for each one of you, for me, for each one of you, your family members, your children, what he did for all of us, all right? And because of that, we have hope. And that's the only reason we have hope, because of what he did for us. Isaiah 26, 3. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever. All right? When you trust God, you just have this peace. Sometimes I can't explain it, you know. When you're going through storms, you just have this peace. Like Jesus did, you know, when he was just sleeping while the waves are going over him. I don't know if he got wet, but I know that he was sleeping. All right? And sometimes I've learned that sometimes there's nothing I can do in a situation. There's nothing I can physically do, all right? All I can do is pray. All I can do is pray, and all I can do is rest in his peace, all right? I can go to sleep, all right? And I remember a few times during some storms that were going on in our lives, I would go to sleep, and Nancy goes, how can you sleep? You know, and it's, how can you go to sleep? There's nothing I can do. God said he's got it, so I'm going to sleep, you know? He said, I'm going to sleep because I need some strength for the next day. So I'm going to sleep. And isn't that true? And it says that God just gave me that peace that I knew my hands, I can't. There's nothing I can do with these hands. All right? And God's hands are in the situation. He will take care of it. And you know what? It always happened that way. God, not because of anything I've done, because God promised. I said, I'm going to take that. He goes, I got that one. I got that one. Don't worry about it. Go to red. I got it. And he took over. And that's a beautiful place to be in. That's a place that we all need to be in. Listen to what it says in John 16:33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. That's a, you know, that's a statement. It's a statement with a promise. I have overcome the world. Be of good cheer. Don't worry. When you're going through the storms, He's in control. When you let Him, when you choose Him as your anchor, He is in control. When you don't want to do it your way, now that sounds like I did it my way. Usually when you do it your way, you fail. Right? Usually when you do it your way, you mess it up. Usually when you do it your way, you're going backwards instead of forward. Right? So, you know, He is in control. Hebrews 6, verses 18 and 19. Are you guys still with me? Amen. Are you getting something out of this? I did. He kept changing. Every time I looked at it, He kept changing it on me. So I said, okay, I can only go for so long. Well, these letters are getting smaller and smaller every time I look at them. Okay. That by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil. All right? Steadfast, that anchor. All right? You ever see huge ships the size of their anchors? All right? They have more than one. All right? And they're massive. All right? And, you know, just think about an anchor. When we are going down the wrong path and we're sinking, all right? God, anchor, He grabs a hold of us. Like Peter when he was walking in the water, all right? And he started looking elsewhere, all right? He started looking to and fro instead of looking at Jesus. He started to sink, all right? And when he sank, all right, Jesus pulled him out of the water. That's what God does to us. In our storms, He pulls us back out so that we're back where we're supposed to be, with His hands, His powerful hands, because He loves us, because He cares for us, because He calls us His own. All right, we are His sons and daughters. We are His children, and He loves us like a father loves his children. All right, and God knows that we're going to go through storms in our lives. He knows that we're going to face all kinds of tribulations and trials. But He also says that I will be there with you. I am your covering. I am your strength. I am your fortress. I am your refuge. I am your peace. So I want you to listen to this song. It's powerful. It says everything that I said today. And I hope that you get into it like I got into it. And just listen to the song. It's by Ryan Stevenson.
When the solid ground is falling out from underneath my feet, between the black skies and my red eyes, I can barely see. And when I'm feeling like I've been let down by my friends and my family, I can hear the rain reminding me. In the eye of the storm, you remain in control. In the middle of the war, you guard my soul. You alone are the anchor when my sails are torn. Your love surrounds me in the eye of the storm. When my hopes and dreams are far from me and I'm running out of faith, I see the future I picture slowly fade away.
And when the tears of pain and heartache are pouring down my face, I find my peace in Jesus' name. In the eye of the storm, you remain in control. In the middle of the war, you guard my soul. You alone are the anchor when my sails are torn. Your love surrounds me. In the eye of the storm, and I just don't know how I'm gonna make ends meet. I did my best, now I'm scared to death that we might lose everything. And when a sickness takes my child away and there's nothing I can do, my only hope is to trust you. I trust you, Lord. In the eye of the storm, you remain in control. You guard my soul. You alone are the anchor. My sails are torn. Your love surrounds me. In the eye of the storm, you remain in control. In the middle of the war, you guard my soul. You alone are the anchor. When my sails are torn, your love surrounds me. In the eye of the storm.
So next time you're going through a trial and tribulation, a storm in your life, remember, be in the eye of the storm. He said, I am who I am. He is God. All right. He controls everything. He calms the waves, the wind, and the waters. And he will calm the storms in your life. All you need to do is call on him and trust him that he would do that. All right. So if anyone here is going through a storm in your life and you need prayer, the altar is open. All right. And just feel free to come here. And we have people that will pray for you. And you know what? You don't need to say what the storm is. It doesn't matter. What matters is that you're coming before the Lord and putting him in front of him and saying, it's yours. All right, you're in control. My sail is broken, all right? But still, your anchor is steadfast, all right? And that's what we need to be, steadfast in the Lord. Be of good courage, all right? Because he is in control. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we're just so thankful, Lord God, for your word and your encouragement today, Lord God, that you are in control of every storm in all of our lives, Lord God, that you have provided a way out, Lord God, that your love for us is so, so huge, Lord God, that you have provided that way, that you have found the love that you have in us, Lord God, to take us out, to reach down and pull us out of those situations, Lord God. We just give you thanks and praise. Bless the people, Lord God, that are here today. Bless the weekend that's coming up for 4th of July as we celebrate the independence of this country, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, for our country, that we will go back to our roots, back to the foundations, Lord God, as this country goes through massive storms in itself, Lord God, caused by the people that we have entrusted, Lord God, to be in charge because they failed to see you and to look to you, Lord God, and to honor you. And Father, we want to honor you and give you thanks and praise for everything that comes our way, for all your love, Lord God, for what you did for us, for each one of us on the cross, Lord God, that you gave us hope that's eternal for eternity, Lord God, and you gave us a way out in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen. You guys have a great weekend. If you're new here, we welcome you. If you want to come up here and get so I can get to know you, and if you want prayer, please come up. We're here. I'll be here for a few minutes longer, so if you want to pray, we can do that. Praise God. Jesus.
I was buried beneath my shame.
could carry that kind of weight.